We're ready.
All right. All right, everybody. I will call to order this regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Supervisors on this blustery January 17th and ask that everyone stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. First item on our agenda is approval of the minutes of January 10th.
Move approval.
I second that. Any corrections or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Second item is public comment number one. This is the item on our agenda that allows the public to comment on any items that are on today's agenda. So if you have something that's on today's agenda and would like to comment on it before we get to it, now would be the time. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, I'll move on to public. We have no public hearing items. So moving to additional items, consideration of Resolution 1252.
That's you. Sorry.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well, the resolution that we have brought before you is a resolution to incorporate the Ames-Iowa State Consolidated Hazard Mitigation Plan into the Story County Multi-Jurisdictional Multi-Hazard Plan. This move has been precipitated by due to Ames and Iowa State completing their plan back in July of 2007, which was prior to Story County developing its plan. Their plan will be due for a revision in July 2012. After the 2010 flooding incident, FEMA recommended to Ames and Iowa State that they integrate their hazard mitigation plan into the Story County hazard multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan. This resolution will be the first step in doing that. It will incorporate their plan in total with one minor revision as requested by Iowa State into our hazard mitigation plan as Appendix L. After this will allow Ames and Iowa State to participate in our upcoming revision of our hazard mitigation plan and be an active participant in ensuring that our plans are fully integrated. Are there any questions?
We'll be leading this conversation at pulling the whole plan together now, plugging their portion of it in as an appendix. Is that what you're telling me? Or
they will be plugging their current plan into our plan right now as an appendix, and then when we do our revision, they will be integrated as another one of our jurisdictions in the plan in total. Right now, by doing it as an appendix, what we prevent is having to go in and reformulate our plan completely, go through the entire plan approval process, which includes having it approved by each individual jurisdiction.
Perfect.
They have to update their plans first?
No. They reviewed their plans to see if there was anything that they wanted to update at this time. The only modification was, again, the one by Iowa State concerning safe rooms.
With that, if there's no further questions, do I have a motion?
I would move approval of Resolution 1252.
And I would second that motion. Further conversation? Roll call vote. Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Resolution 1252 is adopted.
Thank you.
Additional item number second additional item, which is number three on our agenda, consideration of an RFP process for community mental health services. And Deb, that's you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A little background on how we've gotten to the RFP process. In December at the Asset Joint Funders meeting, it was discussed, prior to that, a letter had been drafted by the members of the Asset Administrative Team and sent to Richmond Center / Community and Family Resources about Asset's concern with the financial situation with Richmond Center and CFR, and the concern of that situation draining or becoming draining upon community and family resources. And ASSET is really not wanting to see two agencies be put into a bad situation. We need the services. And we really want to try and preserve what we can at this point in time. So a letter was issued to John Hostetler with ASSET stating that we are recommending to the funders that the two agencies separate. And at the December 8th joint funders meeting, there was a lot of discussion about that and what the next steps would be to ensure that services provided under mental health would be provided to the citizens of Story County, and so that's where we were discussing an RFP process. We have been holding off on pursuing that process, A, because I need board approval, and B, because Ierley Ball Community Mental Health Center had been contracted with the Department of Human Services to provide financial consulting services to the Richmond Center. And this week at the ASSET Joint Funders meeting on the 19th, the recommendations and report from that consulting piece will be shared with stakeholders. And so we want to know the outcome of that particular consulting service to know how to best move forward. But given what we know today and the fact that we are still waiting on fiscal year 11 audits from both Community and Family Resources in the Richmond Center. I believe one agency has theirs completed or near completed, and then the other one still needs to be worked on. Given the information that we know, I am seeking the board approval to pursue the RFP process. Approximately 25 agencies so far have been identified that we would provide the RFP to for consideration, and what we are planning on doing is adding a link to our community services webpage, so the RFP will be available there as well as the timeline and other documents, and then that's where folks will submit their information as well. Are there any questions or comments?
I notice we've got John here. John, I don't know if you'd want to speak to this at all. Yeah, absolutely. Right there next to Deb would be perfect.
Much. I think, Deb is very right that since taking
on closer, John. Thank you.
Deb is very right in taking on the Richmond Center. The financial losses incurred by CFR in this process have been significant, but we're not the first one to encounter those significant losses. In fact, I'm director number 9 as I go through their audits from when they were last financially healthy. So It's a complex problem. We have health care reform out there and what will happen with that, which adds some complexities. My biggest concern is the potential of me losing staff and or clients and having a cascading effect in which we'll collapse. I hope that doesn't happen, but that is a possibility. It's a possibility that because we get reimbursed fee for service, if we don't have people providing services, we won't get money, we'll have more debt, and at some point we'll have to cut that off. So that's out there. The other issues with community mental health center status, there's a moratorium. And there are benefits with being a community mental health center, such as cost reimbursement for Title 19, sales tax exemption, other things like that. And the only way an agency would be eligible for those kinds of things is if they already had that status. So you'd have to bring a community mental health center in from another area, which is very possible in the RFP process. We also have the Ierley Ball report, which may indicate that we're closer to having this figured out than further away, and what dynamics does that bring into the whole situation. As far as separating the Richmond Center from CFR, that's a good on-paper idea, but our boards are merged, our staff are merged, The only thing that isn't merged is the CMHC status and the dissolution of the Richmond Center. So separating really is much, much more difficult. There'll be some fair costs with shutting down the Richmond Center and transferring clients over. We'll be obligated for paying out salaries and benefits, and we've got contracts that we'll have to pay out and other things. So it's not like just walking away makes it that much better financially. It actually incurs some very significant costs to it that need to have some address. I think Richmond Center and CFR went into this with good faith effort, with the idea that we would merge. We hit some bumps along the road, some very big ones, some of our own causing, some of historical causes, and some of not being able to predict what would happen. For example, the loss of the Iowa State EAP contract was huge and should have been the turning point at relooking at the business plan. But we moved forward thinking we'd pull it together. The other issue is CFR's strategic plan has mental health services in it. Why? Because we have a large population of folks who have both mental illness and chemical dependency. And we've done a great job with that population. And we're value added in that we have residential subacute services in Fort Dodge that Story County isn't paying for, that folks go to that assist with those dual issues. So we will still be in the mental health business, still working with dual folks, but where we sit on applying as CFR in light of the moratorium on CMHC and other pieces, don't know. But we could really get into a situation where we're going to have rapid decay, because staff will get nervous and they'll look at, you know, this isn't going to be a job. Because even though the letter says separate, behind it means there will be no more funding for the Richmond Center come July 1st. That's the meaning behind the separation. So there are things that we have to plan and work with together. Deb has told me she will give me a list of all of the contracted providers that she has and who takes Title 19 and Medicare and other things. My biggest concern is 47% of our business is Medicaid and Medicare. And we have providers in Story County, but several of them won't take that population. And Deb already has county contracts. Deb already has county contracts with other providers. So I don't think you're going to have as big an issue with county folks because you've already got a network set up. It's this very vulnerable population. They tend to be chronically, persistently mentally ill, need a lot of high-end services, and are almost 50% of our business. That's the group that I don't know where they're going to go, nor how are they going to get there in light of the transition from where we're at right today to the RFP process to the end of June. So there's lots of factors here. Some of which, good planning and discussion we can impact. Others may just totally come without me being able to control them. So,
I think John, I think everything you said is a really valid point. I'll give you my perspective on this, and then just ask you to address this. My concern is the potential for a cascading dissolution of the Richmond Center and it taking CFR down with it is sitting there as a realistic possibility to me. And I look at it and I say, okay, what is our role as a county in this? And that is to do exactly what you're suggesting, which is to have some open, frank, forthright conversation and planning as to what direction we're headed. The other part to this for me is the work that you've done with CFR and what CFR does, if we have to have the conversation about what we're doing in both of those areas, that's going to be terrible. So bite off the Richmond Center, make sure that we can salvage what is really, really solid and move on from there. And that's what I'm hearing suggested here through the RFP is the beginning of this planning process to get some kind of separation between the two groups. Does that sound accurate to either one of you guys?
That's correct, Rick. And the other thing I guess I want to clarify is in the letter that was sent to John, and we talked about it at the December 8th administrative or the asset meeting, there is no timeline on this. I mean, it would be ideal to make the switch come July 1st, if that's possible. If we need to extend the contracts that we have with the Richmond Center to bridge that gap and to make sure those services are provided, I know from the county standpoint, we're willing to do that. The city and United Way have been sitting at the table and expressed interest in doing that. The big if is, what's left for staff? Is there going to be staff? What kind of level of service would be available for clients by the time we get to that point? That's the unknown that John has mentioned. But we haven't put a firm deadline on this because we want to try and be as flexible as possible.
The other thing is, I really felt like we were in discussion in which we were going to wait until the report from Ireland Ball was out and then do some planning forward. It came the other way. And in part, we had some assurances from DHS back in August that they would step in and help. And it didn't come till the end of November. And it kind of crossed wires. And they got, Ireland Ball got a contract, and I got a letter from the county. I did send a couple of letters saying let's hold off on any discussion of RFP and other things until this is done. The response was we've already moved it forward, and that's what was going to happen. And that has created panic in my staff, panic in my clients. And, you know, even if we want to, we may not be able to last even longer if that looked like the best idea because there seems to be some finality to it. I've been told that CFR can apply for the RFP by Sheila Lunt. I'm assuming that's correct. But the other thing is, you have to realize they have a board of directors that also has to look at the longer we stay in this, the more debt we incur, and we have costs of closing. I mean, how is that a good business model for CFR and the Richmond Center to hang in there and really potentially bury ourselves in the end? So that's another consideration that the board is looking at. And I don't know how to answer that, just that, you know, if you've ever been in a position of closing a business, it doesn't not cost you anything. So.
Well, for me, I think we have to make sure that we're keeping in mind what the best interest is for the clients in Story County that we have to serve. And I appreciate the fact that CFR stepped up three plus years ago, and tried to take on this task. And I'm just concerned that, you know, we put a lot of money into the Richmond Center last year, this past fiscal year, and simply asking for request for proposals doesn't bind us to do anything. I think we still need to have our conversations, but we need to make sure with the impending redesign of the mental health system that Story County is in the best possible position to serve the clients that we need to serve. And I think that's what we're doing, is we're watching out for our own best interest, and we certainly don't want to see CFR get swallowed up in all this.
And I think part of it is in that discussion of moving forward. How do we stabilize financially in order to have an orderly transition? The other piece to it, too, I think that from my perspective, is I did go to Deb, I did go to Sheila Lunt, and I did go to Jean Cressy, and I did say CFR is, you know, our reserves got down to $248,000 for a $5 million organization. It's never been that. That's a critical
piece. Yeah.
Now we're back up. We're back up to $750,000 since that time, and that's been about 6 months. So that's grown. But I did say to him, you know, without some idea, and you talk about the money you put in, CFR's put in around $750,000. Far more than anybody else combined for the whole period. Not to mention the fact that, you know, we really see ourselves as having made progress and good progress. And some of that is going to come out in the Arley Ball, and some of it is going to come a report, and some of it's going to come out on the areas that, that you know, we messed up on or don't have going correctly. The bottom line is, yes, clients are the most important. We want services to continue. CFR feels the same way as the county, and so does the Richmond Center. That getting there and keeping there isn't just an exercise of saying it so. It's a matter of planning, and if there's going to be planning, there has to be fiscal stability in order to get through the plan. That's all I have. Thanks very much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Well,
coming over.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, I just think we would really be selling ourselves short if we weren't at least starting the process to make sure that we have all of our bases covered. And with that, I'm gonna move that we approve the consideration of the RFP process for community mental health services here in Story County.
I second that, and I agree. I think this is part of that planning process that we talk about. We need to make sure that everything is open, above board. We alleviate the very valid concerns probably that staff and clients currently have, and we make sure that wherever we're headed down the road, be it July 1st or later than that, that we make sure that there is as smooth a process to get from here to there, which may include the Richmond Center. I mean, like you say, there's nothing that says once we do an RFP we have to move in any one direction. We're just finding out what our options are, and it allows us to make ultimately that plan that you talk about, John, to get from here to there. So that would be my rationale for supporting this. Any further discussion? All right, this is a roll call item as well. So Toot,
aye.
Sanders, aye. It passes. Deb, we'll go ahead and get the RFP done.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right, next on is a work session discussion for funding of historical organizations, and that is our friend Howard Hammond. How are you today?
Very well.
Good.
Probably better than I should be. Record needs to know it. Howard Hammond from Slater, 7-decade resident of the city. And I'm here, and to stick to notes, I'll do that if you don't mind, and to abbreviate in time, and I don't mind being interrupted if you have any question on what I'm going to relate. Obviously, you can see from the agenda, we're going to talk funding here, and historical organizations of the county. We appreciate very much. Well, I should say I'm here for myself speaking. I was not assigned by anybody. But what I have to say has implications for the County Historical Alliance. And you gentlemen remember in early November you were at Gilbert, and the Alliance really appreciated that because, well, you have a minor investment as far as funding is concerned, but we were pleased that you were able to hear all of us kind of aspire to our directions individually. So those 9 reports verbally were in place, and then we supposedly, if everybody did, but we're not checking on each other, sent to you written reports and shared those same reports with our membership and our local people so they'd know where our individual organizations are going. So from there, we had the alliance that we're referring to here about 3 years in place. Now, Slater, I think Maxwell is the oldest historical group in this county since started about 1965. So they've got great holdings, Civil War, and a whole bunch of things. The most recent are Huxley and Gilbert. We came on the scene about 12 years ago. So I give you that review just to let you know that the Alliance has no officers. We have elected to not place another level of problems. But so we pass the leadership from unit to unit. So come this year, we'll have 2 meetings, as we have the last few years. The first meeting comes in the spring, and we'll be meeting at Kelly this time. And then we will meet in the fall. We'll be at Huxley, and we work on your schedule so that if you can, you're present, and we kind of hope that you have been and you have previously. So we've collectively shared enthusiasm with each other as we come into those meetings, and we have contacts more than just those 2 settings. each year. Some of our most recent efforts, and this probably is what I would guess to be, in my estimation, the justification for talking about money a little later. One is the county's developed now, if you, anybody wants to go to it, a World Wide Web. So internationally, you can find history that you want to find in Story County, and it's storycountyhistory.blogspot.com. I'll give you that later if you need it. Another thing that's happened most recently in my observations are the increased contacts and programs with school kids. I know locally we've been able to, there are no barriers, but the school been able to bring kids in, and teachers have been cooperative. Another item is military veterans records and citations. So these are just spins into things that have come on the scene in the last couple, 3 years, more so than before. And we're all working to increase our museum holdings and facilities. Most recently, Huxley is going to be able to go into their safe room, which is federal, state, local funding, and have part of that for their historical unit, which would be nice. And Gilbert, I think, whether you had a chance to do it or not, City of Gilbert cooperated with their group, and they have come into have a new building on Main Street. It's an old building, but they've got a place, and then you begin to accumulate if you want to. So where we are in a passing situation, I realize the county. Oh, county provides money for local. Yeah, how'd that happen? Well, former supervisor Fred Matteson and I happened to be in an event together. As a matter of fact, it's a pancake breakfast at Cambridge, and I start bragging a bit. See, Fred's been gone what, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever. I started bragging about our new startup and how progress we're making in Slater, and he said, well, why don't you come up and testify to that a little bit? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we have a little money. Oh, you do? So we didn't realize what was going on. So it kind of worked at the alliances. At the time, there wasn't an alliance, but it kind of worked to the detriment of the other people who were involved because, I'm not criticizing, but the same level of funding stayed. Maybe the financial fiscal times were different than now or ever. And so as we tried to promote more local historical organizations, the amount of money provided was being divided by a greater number of people. So after we came on, then Gilbert came on, Huxley came on, and I'd have to go to record to find out. We're not talking billions here, but we're appreciative of the monies that we came from the county for the purposes. And as you well realize, we do not have in our county like Jasper County has, Boone County has, a county historical organization in place, so there's no county money needed to run with that. So at that setting, we've been able to experience money from the county at each of the operational reporting local organizations. No money goes to the alliance, per se. So here I am saying it'd be a great shot in the arm, and it'd show county level of support. At this time, it doesn't have to be maximum. I guess I've tried to tell you what rationale I think would justify it. And if any of the county residents came to you, I think you can go into about any city of the county and say, what do you know about your historicalization, and should we be funding much of that? So we're ready to provide you any more detail you might need. Again, I'm speaking for myself, but for the alliance, because I know we got camaraderie. I can go to those people and say, I came. Well, what are you doing here, Howard? Well, being the old antique in Slater and maybe around the county too, if you could see yourself to just, I'd say, make kind of a minimal shot, let's say $500 to 9 organizations, we're talking $4,500, and you're about to deal with other departments in the county budget. So if you could, we're, I think, at a 15, have to be checking the county auditor's office on the budget specific for that we've received current fiscal year. I think it, Slater got $2,000. So we think is whatever money was there was divided between the organizations. So you'd be talking, what, $4,500? And if you're saying, whoop, everybody wants more money, I know you are. You got a terrible task to work with get to the priorities of the county, and you're saying, history, why can't they do that locally? Well, we can't. We got people on board. We got memorials. We got honorariums. We got grants. 3 of us got state grants this year. So we're out looking for the dollar to make it happen. If you needed, I'd be glad to respond to any questions. If you needed a letter to this effect, I could get a couple people of the Alliance activity, still no officers, but would say, well, Howard, you didn't ask for enough. Or, you're crazy. Why didn't you just ask for 200? And maybe you've gotten it. That's it. It's kind of a open.
Yeah.
There you are, man.
You want to address it or you want
well,
me?
Well, we just finished our budget workshop, and we did increase it a little bit. It's for the last two or three years, it's been static at $20,000 that we give to the Alliance, which is divided up evenly between all, is it nine? Right, and we did increase it just shy of $500, I think, this year.
Yep.
$170-some.
Yeah, and as I recall in the conversation, it was so that it came out to an even, it's hard to divide the 20 even by 9, and
right,
and so we got it to an even number, and it, you know, it may not be quite as much as you're here asking for, but what you need to know is it is something that we all value, and we're going to do everything we can to get it done. Now, the flip side to that is, as we went into this year's budget session, we had about $2 million we needed to cut, not just short of $2 million. And so we went through, and if, in fact, it stays on the books and it's not done till it's done, you will be one of the few organizations getting a bump from the county this year. In fact, there's several of our departments and organizations that are realizing less operational revenue than they had last year. But we appreciate what you guys do. Really enjoyed our time in Gilbert a couple months ago, and we're going to do everything we can to continue to make sure you have the resources you need to continue the work you're doing.
Well, same to you then. Talked about it. It's an open book. You can go with where you can go with it. And when we meet Kelly come spring, I'll just tell him, had an audience, had a consideration.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be glad to report exactly how we got, wherever it is we end up, how we got there. As it sits on the books today, there is a small increase to our historical societies. And you know, we've got a few more meetings we got to go through, and we got to make sure that the bottom line adds up. Second thing I wanted to say is I would love, we're getting ready to roll out a new website for the county, or new platform for our website. I would love to make sure, if it's not already, that we're linking all our historical stuff from storycounty.com. And so if you could just keep Paul or I posted, and we'll make sure it gets to who it needs to get to.
I call out, I tell you, Mr. Messer from Cambridge is the one that's the web design person.
Okay. So I'll get the word to him, this expression.
Sure. Have him get a hold of us up here, and we'll put him in touch with our webmaster.
Maybe it's already there now. I'm
okay.
Sure that Brown, but he may already know that we're in place.
And Howard, the only thing I would ask is if you wouldn't mind just sending a real quick note out to the Alliance and just let them know that you did come before us. I don't want to get a call. I don't want anybody to read this the wrong way or anything else. And so, if you wouldn't mind shooting a note out, that'd be outstanding.
The rest of, yeah. Okay. No promises made, but just information conveyed.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Howard.
All right. Moving on to claims.
Move approval of the claims list.
And I will second it. And then just state for everybody here. Claims every week, the members of the public have the opportunity to see everything the county spends before it's approved. This is the time to comment on it before the supervisors go ahead and approve those claims for the last 2 week period. But it's something that if you're interested in, if you want to follow what money the county's spending and where it's spending it, that information is available. Everything Shelley sends out attached to this agenda has the full claims list, every dollar that's spent. And so it's something that you guys can sure keep an eye on if you so choose, where the county's spending your money. Any further discussion? Is this roll call for claims? No? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Claims pass. No agency reports, departmental reports. Sue McCaskey with her show and tell item.
Show and tell got a little antsy. I had to go hang out somewhere else. However, I did bring a stamp. First, I'll give you some numbers that we've gotten. And starting up front, I'll give you some cat adoption numbers. And I want to mention we had some feral cats come in
17 of them from one area who were carrying a virus that we did not know what it had, and so it went actually through our shelter population. But we had 57 adoptions and no claims and 8 euthanasias due to rabies quarantines and FIV positives. We also sent 8 out to fosters, and we responded to 7 that were hit by cars. Dog adoptions were 32, claims 14, and euthanized none. Our calls for assistance were 3,041. Volunteer hours were 317. And currently we have 16 dogs, 78 cats, and 2 rabbits in the shelter. Our adoption rate now sits at 97.8%. So short of being a no-kill shelter, it's probably the highest one in the state. We're very proud of that. We are noticing that less animals coming in are being claimed by their owners. I don't know if this is a sign of the times due to the economy or exactly what it is, but we are having many animals come in that are very thin. We have mange, and so we are using our donation money to turn them around and get them adopted back out. We are keeping animals from being impounded. We work very hard with people out in our rural areas and our contract towns. We work very hard to make sure that we kind of are a liaison between neighbor disputes a lot of times, problems people are having with their animals, and so we work very hard to try to make sure that we're keeping some sort of peace without having to bring all the animals in. Only 40 to 45% of the animals that are in the shelter are what we impound or what we deal with. We deal with many more in the extent of livestock. We have a lot of people that we work with, bites, rabies quarantines, neighbor complaints, especially in severe weather conditions, one way or the other, the heat or the cold. Welfare checks, we've been very lucky this winter so far, with the exception of today, which really isn't that bad. We haven't been out like we normally have been in the winter, babysitting to make sure everything was okay. But we are getting calls and complaints all the time that we do check on. Our traffic coming into the shelter is astounding. Every day there's between 75 and 125 people coming in. And it was funny because one of the gentlemen from the restructuring committee, when they came out to visit the shelter, said, "Is it like this all the time?" I mean, it was just, we just had these people just everywhere. And I said, "Yeah, it is. It's really busy. We have a lot of people visiting. We have a lot of people who want to come out and volunteer. So we've got a lot of interest in the shelter, which is very nice. We are going to do Neuter a Tomcat Day, tentatively set for March 13th. And the people that will benefit the most from this will be people in our rural areas. If we have times left when we're done, if we have times left and we're ready to do this, we will allow people in other contract towns to participate. But what we're essentially going to do is people who have male cats in the rural areas and want to get them neutered and a rabies shot, it will be done. Drop them off at the shelter, and you pick them up later, it'll be for $10 a cat. That's a steal. And we're cutting down on the overpopulation. Of course, the rabies vaccination is very important because every year we have positive rabies in Story County, and that's something we look at very seriously. So tentatively set for March 13th, and I've got one vet and her assistant on board, and I think we're actually going to have another vet. So we're hoping to maybe do it. May not be as big the first year until we get it started. We'd like to make it a yearly event, but we're hoping to do 50 to 100 cats that day. So, and that's just 50 to 100 cats that aren't out there reproducing. And you've heard my little spiel that if you start off with 2 cats, a male and a female, within 7 years, them and their offspring can have 372,000 cats. So every little bit we do to help is hopefully cutting down on the problem that we have in Story County. We just got our
microphone. Pull the microphone closer, please. Thanks.
Got our shelter floor sealed. We had dogs go over to our vet. We also put the smaller dogs in some of our cat cages. So it's a state requirement. It had been done when we moved out there, but with all the cleaning that we do and, all of the urine and everything that comes on the floors, we need to make sure that we keep it sealed. It keeps out the odors. It's a lot more clean. So we did get that sealed. We usually do it in the spring and summer, and now I know why. It didn't dry quite as well as it probably would have been. But we did get it to where it needed to be, so we're done with that. when we're not doing normal shelter things right now, we are fixing our live traps, deep cleaning our cages. There's a lot we try to do to get ready for spring this time of year because it'll hit in about probably sometime in March. And we've got several animals going to Iowa State coming up for spays and neuters. Again, they've cut back on the amount of animals that they take from us, but we are still taking a considerable amount over there, which helps keep our budget line item in tow for that. I had kind of my interesting story. I always like to tell one, and this one involves a skunk, one of everybody's favorite animals. We had a lady call from, she's actually in the city limits of Maxwell, and they had had a skunk. They'd noticed it milling around their house, and so she bought a trap. They were going to be proactive and try to trap it. Well, they thought they'd be a really good idea to just leave the trap in the box that it came in and set the trap. So the only thing that was showing really was the door. And what happened was the skunk ultimately did go in the trap, probably the biggest skunk I've ever seen. It was enormous. It couldn't even turn around in the trap. Anyway, she called and she said, we have a contract with Maxwell. And we said, well, you know, your city guys, do they want to let it go or do they want to pay us to come down? She goes, no, the city guys won't get near it. They will not. They don't want to deal with it. You guys come down. So we went down there. Well, of course, to get the skunk out of the trap, the opening for the door was at the other end that was inside the cardboard. So we had to take our time. We got the skunk out of, we got the cardboard away from the skunk, took him out, went to relocate him, and he didn't want to leave the trap. We were out there half hour trying to get him to vacate the trap without spraying us. And he finally did. We normally don't take care of that kind of wildlife calls. We did in this circumstance just because this was one that, while it was very healthy and we weren't concerned about anything with rabies, we did want to get it relocated because it was looking for a place to nest and it was choosing these people's front porch, so it wouldn't have been a very good location. But we do help people with livestock or wildlife calls if they need them. But anyway, so that just adds a little interesting twist to our job. And that same day we'd had cattle out, so by the end of the day, you know, we were kind of animaled out, to be real honest. We'd had pretty much enough.
At least it's something different.
Yeah, it is. Variety is
same thing every day.
So I don't know if you have any questions, but, again, we are, you know, I say this every time since we've moved. It's just made a tremendous difference with us moving. Our adoption rate has not really changed that much. We've always been pretty blessed with a high adoption rate, but what has changed is the amount of people coming in. And just to let you know, for Christmas, our donations that we got in over Christmas, I just turned in $7,495 to the treasurer. So we have a lot of public support out there in donations. So we're very, very grateful. And the new shelter is, I think, it's gone up. So that's a lot to, I think, you know, that's a lot of the reason. People enjoy coming. They bring their kids. There's volunteer opportunities. We have a lot of school groups, Boy Scouts. We just had Mr. Cooper in his high school animal science class last week. So we do. We get a lot of people out there.
Well, Sue, you and your staff have always done an outstanding job. It's nice that you finally have a facility that matches the work you guys do and the job you do, and we sure appreciate it. It's, you know, it's nice to be part of a county where we take care of the animals while still keeping the public safe.
I get a lot of emails from other counties who would like to incorporate animal control. I know Hamilton County is one of those. You know, the residents of Hamilton County, you know, most of the counties have kind of taken on. Boone has a Humane Society. Marshalltown has a Humane Society. Jasper has one. Of course, Des Moines has a couple. And you'd think, wow, that's a lot for this area, but I don't think people really realize how many animals there are out there at any given time. And so there are other counties. I just had a meeting not too long ago with a gentleman. He was the veterinarian for the state of Iowa that was kind of the expert on the rabies thing. And he said he lives in Dallas County, and he said we'd very much like to get something started similar to what Story County has, because what you guys do works. And of course, I'm like, well, most days.
But it didn't happen overnight.
I can
remember when I started at the sheriff's office in the late 70s. I mean, we did have an animal control officer. I'm not sure if she was full-time. But all the animals that were caught went to a private kennel west of Kelly.
Yep, they did. I mean, it's come a long way. And the last, when we went from Kelly to the location before this one, that was supposed to be kind of a temporary fix. You know, it wasn't ever supposed to be a 17-year or 16-year deal.
That's temporary.
You know, well, you know, and some people that is temporary. But we're extremely grateful, and I just, again, I thank you guys for your support, and we also thank the public for their support.
And we thank you for your work. Thanks. Planning and development, Leanne's a little under the weather, so she's going to come report to us next week. Anything to report on liaison assignments or committee meetings?
No, just attended one of the government restructuring committee meetings in Story City, and like you, there wasn't a big crowd, but it was a good conversation. People that were there were engaged, and just encourage anybody that's interested. The next one is tonight in Zering at the Dakin Community Center at 7 o'clock, and then Thursday, I think, we're in Huxley. And then the week after that, Nevada, and finish up, I believe, on the 30th, Monday the 30th, in Ames at City Hall.
Which will be videoed and available on public access. And for you guys out there, Government Restructuring Committee is taking a look at everything we do in Story County, including elected offices, the way our departments are structured, looking for efficiencies and the opportunity to offer better service to the public. It's something that hasn't been looked at since, the mid-60s. They're going through it. It's a year-long study that they're doing. They're going to report back to us in June because there may be some items they bring forward that have to be ballot issues to go before the public. So I encourage you to get to one of their meetings and make sure that your voice is heard if you have any thoughts on the way county government operates or is structured, and keep your eyes open for the report. Thanks. Anything else? No personnel actions, is that right? When's the last time we had no personnel actions? I don't remember that. All right.
That's a credit to our new HR director.
Nice job, Alyssa. Consent agenda, all items except for number 7.
I would move approval with a noted change.
And I'd second it. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Consent agenda passes. No other reports. Public forum, Merle, this is you. Public forum, comments from the public on items not on the agenda. Board may not take action today due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. You come on up, Merle. And our good friend Merle Eggers is here to talk to us about gravel and the county budget. Now, you tell me how comfortable that chair is right there when you sit down.
Well, I'm just about ready to go to sleep.
Well, that's encouraging.
You know something? I can't stand, yesterday, when I was listening to all them other things on the radio and TV and everything else, and the things that is happening, that the people are not really using good sense of what they're doing. And what has happened is that, like Rick says, if you two times, you know, it works a little bit better. And on the road gravel that we have out there, in a matter of 2 years, the crushed rock is gone. Okay, there's really good road gravel available that you can get within, I think it'd take Chuck Becker about 16 weeks to figure out how soon he could get up to get some. And we have a good loan for the Story County. This is what on the roads, on everything. And now I know it's about $2 for the other way around. Because the rock will stay three times or twice, only twice as good as the road gravel will. It'll last longer. And that's when they should be more used. And it would save much. And when I was going through my computer there, it would save about $2,500 a year for Story County. And that's about all I can say about this.
Yeah, I like I say, I mean, not anything we can act on up here, Merle, but what I would say is, and you know, I've sat out there in the audience with you from 2008, 2010, and since I've been sitting here, I've never heard anybody suggest that if you were able to take that gravel out of the ground, that Story County wouldn't have major interest in it. I know that a lot of what we spend right now is based on trucking stuff all over the place. Clearly, it's outstanding gravel that you have. The problem we have is the Board of Adjustment, which is different than the Board of Supervisors, ruled against you being able to take that gravel out. So, as I see it, you got a couple options for getting past that decision by the Board of Adjustment. And I know, I'll say here, I've sat in your kitchen with you and Norm on how many? A dozen times trying to talk this through, and it sounds to me like you've got a couple pretty good options now for getting to the end where you can actually access that gravel, and you've just got to decide how to do that. I think once you get to the end, I think it's completely fair to say that the county would be completely interested in having access to that gravel if, in fact, you're allowed to take it off your property. We just got to figure, or you've got to figure out how to get it off your property. And like I say, I think you got a couple good options for getting there now. You just need to decide how to get that done.
I don't think there's a pit in Story County now that the county hauls out of. I think there's one in eastern or western Marshall County that we go to get the gravel from. But we
Hauling it around the country is more than what the gravel's worth, though, too.
Oh yeah, if there's a pit available in Story County where we can get the rock, that's the ideal situation because it saves money. No, there's no doubt about that.
Okay, that's what I want to know, and I think we can work it down to where we can do it too.
Absolutely, yeah. The only thing I'll remind you of, and I know you and I have talked about this a couple times, it is not a Board of Supervisors decision whether you can get that gravel or not. That's out of our hands now. So you got to figure out how to get in and get that gravel, and you and I have talked about that a couple times. And then once you do that, then it becomes a Board of Supervisors decision as to what gravel we buy and everything like that. So then it becomes our decision again once you're allowed to go get that gravel. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
That's it.
Super. Thanks
you. Merle.
Yep. All right, announcements from the supervisors. Anything?
I just hope that Wayne and Edna participated in the lifeboat drill on the cruise ship in light of the...
Yeah, I hope it's not laying sideways like that.
Exactly.
That's right. You think he's thinking of us right now?
I doubt it. You better not be.
With that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.